Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 1st of May, Anno Domini 2010, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour on May Day, we're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use, things to choose, nothing to lose. So let's start with an interesting point. We want to thank each and every one of you. As you may or may not remember, we just finished a pledge drive.
Yes.
And although the polka guys whooped our butts to the tune of dang near $1,000.
Yeah, but they've got, wait a minute, time out. They have 24 years of experience at this radio station.
That's true.
We have not been here a year until next month.
That's right.
The first Saturday next month will mark our first anniversary here at Member Supported Jazz 90.1.
That's right.
And we came this close,
yep,
Eddie.
Yep.
Don't meet any goal.
And although they beat us in dollar amount, we had more per pledge than they did. So thanks to each and every one of you for your generous donations and your pledges to this radio station. We really, really appreciate it. All right. Grab some popcorn, kiddies. Apple and Adobe are at it again. And this time, the feuding's getting fierce. In one corner, you have Steve Jobs, CEO of what may be the most loved and most hated company in technology. In the other corner, you have Adobe CEO Shantanu Narayen, who can't understand why Jobs won't allow his Flash software onto the iPhone, iPod, or iPad. Thursday, in what may be the most direct clash we've seen to date, the two men publicly traded punches. The high-profile fighting hit the web hard Thursday morning when Jobs posted a rare missive onto the homepage of Apple.com, entitled Thoughts on Flash. The open letter offered an explanation for Jobs' firm stance against Flash. It also fired back at Adobe for its claims that Apple's Flash-free decisions are based on business-driven motivations designed to keep its systems closed. In a nutshell, Jobs says that Adobe's Flash platform is closed and that he values web technologies that are open. Kettle, pot calling. That Flash is unreliable and insecure. That Flash is too big of a drain on battery life. And that Flash doesn't function well with touch interfaces. That one's pretty much true at the moment. Jobs goes on to state that contrary to what some may have suggested, surfing the web without Flash isn't an incomplete experience. Most Flash-based video, he attests, is already available in other formats. That's only partially true. While Flash-based games can't be played on an Apple device, he proposed that Apple's App Store offers enough alternative entertainment options that it shouldn't be a problem. So if you're one of those people who prefers to play games on Yahoo.com, Steve Jobs thinks you're a moron. All caught up on that side of the drama? Good. Now here's what Adobe has to say about Jobs' remarks. Adobe CEO Shantanu Narayen sat down for an interview with the Wall Street Journal to chat about what Jobs wrote. According to the journal, Narayen says Adobe's goal is and always has been to make it easy for people to work on any operating system. He says Apple's restrictions would make it unnecessarily cumbersome for developers, forcing them to maintain two workflows, one for Apple and one for everyone else. We have different views of the world, Narayen tells the journal. Our view of the world is multi-platform. That's very subtle. As for the technical problems Jobs connected to Adobe's Flash software, Narayen says he sees them as little more than a smokescreen. Specifically, he says Jobs' claim about Flash draining devices' batteries are patently false, and that if Adobe causes frequent crashes on Apple systems, it's likely the result of an issue within Apple's OS. Narayen also maintains his stance that Jobs' Flash ban is based purely on business. Apple, he contends, stands to gain the most from apps that are exclusive to its platform. Adobe's platform, on the other hand, allows developers to create apps that can work for multiple types of devices. It doesn't benefit Apple, he says, and that's why you see this reaction. So our question to you this week, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Flash.
Francis.
That's Francis. I'd like us to remind you. Jeez, and crackers. Flash on iPad, and your choices are, I must have it, Jobs is God, whatever he says is good by me, I have no idea, and I don't use Apple products and couldn't care less. So far, we have 56 votes. overwhelmingly, most of you don't use Apple products and couldn't care less. So our question to you says the same. Flash on iPad? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll free at 1-800-790-0415.
And then Microsoft also this week published their own little note saying that they agree with Apple that they are embracing the open web standard of HTML5 and H.264. Of course, Microsoft has their own competing technology called Silverlight. So it's interesting that Adobe wants to make one program work for everything, and both Microsoft and Apple want to make the best for their own platform.
Right.
And they're all sort of right.
So. Well, yeah, they're all kind of right, but yeah. I'm not saying that Jobs is wrong to want to own everything. I mean, that's how you get to be number one in an industry. You own everything.
Yeah, and it's one of the issues we've had over the years on the Mac side is that whenever you port a program to another platform, it's not as good as writing it natively for that platform. And Microsoft Word has been a common example of that for 20 years now. It started on the Mac, and then they went to the Windows versions, and eventually with Word 6 was the first one that was really bad. They basically wrapped all of the Windows code in something they called their P code, and then put a Macintosh front end on it, and Word 6 was really, really bad on the Mac. In fact, some people were reporting that Word for Windows ran better in Virtual PC than Word for Mac did on the Mac.
Right.
So there are programming advantages to writing native code, and there are end user advantages to writing native code. But a company like Adobe that writes, you know, software for web stuff is now facing the position that their programs won't run on the iPhone. They won't run on a lot of the Android-based machines yet, although Adobe's working with Google to get Flash into Android. And who knows what else is going to happen next.
Something's not right with my headphones. Yeah, we'll see. All right, let's go to the phones. Our first caller is Walt. Where are you calling from, Walt?
Yeah, hi, Nick. I'm calling from Charlotte. I got a question. I bought this wireless router, by Cisco Lynx, dual band wireless and gigabyte router. Sometimes I could log in and to get on the internet. Sometimes I couldn't. I got Roadrunner. So I went and replaced the router with the same one. And I want to know, do I have to reload the software again?
Software. The router came with software?
Well, just a little disk, I guess.
Well, it's the configuration wizard. The
to
router,
get into it, to well, set up your wireless, you know,
to
security.
Automatically set up your router security. You need absolutely no software for any router. All of the software is built into that router. Both Apple and Linksys and the other brand companies will...
Well, what it is just an interface. In case you're unfamiliar with it, it'll take you through.
Right. It asks you, what do you want to name your router? What do you want to make your password? So it's a setup wizard that helps you set up your router, but you don't actually need it.
Right.
Oh, so I can just plug it in and use it?
Mm-hmm. Theoretically, yeah.
Yeah, I have problems. You
will
from
want
upstairs to downstairs, the router won't work. I was wondering if it's a router problem. I'm thinking I haven't hooked it up yet.
Well, you oughta. That's a place to start. Uh-huh. There's no point in making any speculations at this point until you've actually plugged the thing in and it's running.
Yeah. One of the big issues you run into with wireless is metal. So if the kitchen is between the router and your computer, you may not get a signal because all the metal in your kitchen will help block that radio signal. We had a customer that couldn't get their wireless on the back patio because it turned out their patio doors were leaded glass, and the lead in the glass blocked the radio signal. So a lot of times what we see is that the routers end up getting put in the basement because that's where all the wiring comes into, and the metal I-beams in the basement can limit the range of the wireless signal.
I see. Are some routers better than others? Or
Cisco makes the routers that the entire internet uses, so that's pretty much not a bad thing.
Okay. Thanks for information.
Well, after you get it set up, and if it doesn't work then, give us a call, but there's no point in calling us until you've set it up and tried it.
But I should be able just to plug it in and go, right?
Right.
Yeah, plug and go.
Right. You will eventually want to get into the router's management software and then put a name on your router, put a password on your router so other people can't break into it. But just to make sure it's working, plug it in raw and just let it run.
Okay.
Right.
Thanks.
And by the way, when you do that.
Yeah, have a nice day.
Okay, right. Thanks. Bye. That's good.
Yep.
All right.
So he's called a few weeks in a row now. He's replaced his cable router several times. Now he's replaced his Wi-Fi router. Was this the guy with the computer that wouldn't connect to?
I think so.
I don't know. I've been gone the last 2 weeks.
Don't you listen to the show?
I listened to yes, I did.
Yeah. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling better. The folks at Droid were very kind. The shock treatment worked well.
The glazed look over your eyes is gone.
No, we took a road trip. We had
I still got to interrupt. This can't be happening.
You think it can't be happening.
I know, and I'm going, holy moly. I still remember the day you guys brought her home, and saw you guys shortly thereafter, and it's like, no.
I remember the birth, buddy boy.
No, I hope so. But no, the time has gone by there.
Yeah. We took my daughter to look at her college. She's picked her college. She loves it. We loved it. We went and met people. We had the best time. And the trip really, was all about Amelia, but the second thing it was all about was the droid. We just got in the car. Let me tell you this. We got in the car, and I turned the droid on, and here's what's cool, because it's Google. It's Android. Mm-hmm. It's from Google. Before we took the trip, I went on to Google Maps, and I found every place that we were going to go, her cousin's house and whatever.
Oh, you got family down there too?
Yeah.
Oh,
and you star it. There's a little star, and you click on it, and it lights up, and now it's starred. All the starred items appear on the droid. So I get in the car, and I say navigate. And it says, okay, from your current position to where? You click the little button, and one of the choices is starred items.
Oh,
so I just
sweet.
Go in, and I say, here we go. We're going to such and so, and... boom, in we go. So we're driving along, and the trip, 13 and a half stinking hours in the car.
Did the battery last the whole trip?
And we're talking to each other afterwards. We're a very strong family, clearly. Well, here's the thing. I bought the car charger. I'm not a complete idiot.
Only a partial one.
Only a partial one, clearly.
Smart man.
So, and it's mounted on the dashboard, and that's all. It's so cool. And it got us there with no problem, and it got us from the hotel to the college and from... the college back to the hotel, and then the next day it took us into Chicago. Now we're going into Chicago, and all of a sudden we're on side streets and city streets, and Elaine's going, is this thing on drugs? I said, well, honey, if you look at the signs, we're following a detour. Apparently, there's road construction, there's a detour,
and it knew it.
It was great.
Save you literally hours and headaches.
And you can do that, I know, with TomTom and Garmin and all of those things, but you pay a fee for that. This is all free on the droid. It was freaking great.
Sweet.
And we were listening to Pandora, and we were listening to Jazz 90.1 for a long way because it comes over the web, and there's a program that'll do that. We just had, it was...
There's an app for that.
We get into the hotel, it's 10 o'clock at night in the city where her college is. Clearly, they roll up the sidewalks at 10. We got there at 10:30.
Like Rochester.
So Rochester's just, 5.
Yeah, right. So I,
well, at
so
least
I,
downtown.
Yeah, right. So I get on the phone, and I just hit the button that says search. I hit the button that says voice, and I said, find the nearest restaurant. Poop, up come a bunch of restaurants. The only thing that's open at 10:30 at night is Denny's. But that's okay. We got supper.
Still a restaurant.
Exactly. And I said, okay. And it said, do you want to call? So I called. Well, I know Denny's is open for 24 hours. They actually called a couple other places first. The only one that was open was Denny's. But you go there and you say, oh, what about this restaurant? And it tells you about it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say, oh, I like this, the food,
style
the menu,
food, yeah,
whatever,
yeah,
whatever. And then I hit the button and I can call it.
Sweet.
And, they were all closed. But Denny's was open. So we went to Denny's. And I said, okay, so get me there. One more button push. Oh, it was just an amazing experience.
Nothing wrong with that.
With this thing, and I was very, very pleased. It was great. It was a wonderful trip. It was a wonderful trip. We also went to Medieval Times in Chicago. It's a restaurant, giant restaurant, and you're in Medieval Times, and they serve you chicken and spare ribs and.
Yeah, we went to one up in Toronto.
What is it, Hard Rock in Chicago?
Yeah, we didn't get to the Hard Rock, but we went to this Medieval Times, and there's no utensils. You eat with your hands, And then while you're eating, there's this show that goes on about, you know, it's knights jousting and fighting each other with swords. Mm-hmm. And it was actually very, very cool.
It was on House time. Last week.
What was?
Knight jousting and Renaissance Festival.
I was actually there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun. It was way fun. We just had the best time all the way around. And it was a well worthwhile trip, and I was very impressed with the way my droid.
So you will be traveling back. You and Elaine will be traveling back and forth.
Yeah, I think. Well, now we're going to have to take one more trip with all of Amelia's things, mm-hmm. and then anytime we visit, we're taking the train. The heck with driving. Take the train and then rent a car when we get to Chicago or wherever we end up.
Cheaper and easier.
Exactly.
The local Sterling Renaissance Festival starts July 3rd.
Yes, it does. And we'll probably go to that, too. We do most every year.
There's a really good meadery just on the road to Sterling that you have to stop at.
There's good mead there, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what we did over the last weekend. And it was just the best. And then coming back home, of course, was another 13 and a half hours on the road. Elaine drove for a couple hours, and then the two of them slept the entire time.
See, I would have been over to Chicago Harley-Davidson.
We passed it, and I wanted to stop and just say Dave sent me. But
that's fine. Pick up a piece of chrome.
Yeah, it was one of three, you know. We voted, and it was three.
You lost.
One. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
I can understand it, but I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. And on the way home, we organized it better. On the way up, it was first one of them had to make a quick stop, and then the other one had to make a quick stop. Then the first one had to make a quick stop. Then the second one had to make a quick stop. So it actually took us well longer than 13 and a half hours. I said on the way home, I said, listen, we're coordinating our bladders now. Everybody go now. I don't care if you have to go.
With two women, good luck at it.
Last time I drove to Chicago, it was 9 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, but Steve, since then, they've gone.
Chicago was only not where her college is. We had to go past her college.
But see, probably back then, the speed limit was 55. Now it's 65.
Yeah.
Right. So I could actually get there faster. You know what the real problem is? After 5 days of driving at 70, 75, 80, 85, 90, and I wasn't passing anybody. I was just keeping up with the traffic. Coming back to work and then driving to work at 35 miles an hour, I thought, geez and crackers, what the heck? I couldn't get used to going slow anymore.
That's like going into Boston.
Yeah.
Maniacs in Boston.
Man.
And what the heck does a flashing green light mean? I know flashing yellow. I know flashing red. Green light?
Flashing green means we have officially given up. Do whatever the hell you want.
Well, because in Boston, you know, a sign of weakness is for folks that use their turn signals.
Exactly. And the law in Boston is if my bumper's a quarter inch ahead of yours, I own the road. I own it. If I want to be in your lane, I can be.
It's mine.
Exactly. So, yeah, we had a great time. It was fun. And I tell you what, my droid was terrific. All right, that very faint sound means we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or, of course, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Otto Bruno, inviting you to a musical party this and every week on the Sunday Music Festa and the Otto Show. Our guests may include Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, Bing Crosby, Rosemary Clooney, or who knows, maybe even Count Basie or Joe Williams, Bobby Darin. Lady Ella herself could stop by. It's a musical celebration every week on the Sunday Music Festa and the Otto Show. That's Sundays at 12 noon right here on Jazz 90.1.
America's longest running computer show, Sound Bites, the answer to your computer questions on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by the Penfield Music Commission Project, presenting RPO's principal pops conductor, Jeff Tysik, headlining the 40th annual jazz fundraiser concerts. Jeff Tysik will join Penfield jazz students and other guest artists to celebrate this 40th annual event. Shows are April 30th and May 1st at 7:30 in the new Penfield High School Auditorium. Tickets are available at the Penfield High School Music Office, the Bop Shop, Music and Arts, and the Penfield branch of Canandaigua National Bank. For more information, you may call 249-6749. That's 249-6749.
The Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America has important information for people with asthma. You know that asthma symptoms can really slow you down. What you may not know is that there are two main causes of asthma symptoms: airway constriction, which you feel, and inflammation, which you may not feel. Most medicines only treat one cause, which can be why symptoms return. At asthma.com, you'll learn more about the two main causes of asthma symptoms. You'll learn how to work with your doctor to better manage your asthma. And you'll learn how treating both main causes of asthma symptoms can help prevent symptoms before they even start. And preventing asthma symptoms should be your treatment goal. For more information and resources about the two main causes of asthma symptoms, go to asthma.com. This message brought to you by the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, with funding and editorial support by GlaxoSmithKline.
You can only reach certain people through things like Facebook and MySpace. So for radio, it's great because it pushes us up to a new level and really just opens up opportunities for us that we didn't have before.
New artists like These Green Eyes, reaching new audiences every day where it all happens. Radio. To learn more, go to RadioHeardHere.com.
Hi, this is Phil Dodd. Please join me weekdays from noon to 3 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites.
And Rob asked me to remind folks, we got a new program starting tomorrow. Otto has changed up his program a little bit, and he's more or less doing like the Rat Pack style show. It's new, and definitely, it's all on the webpage. You might really want to check it out for some different style of jazz.
I tell you what, there's only about three people in the world who had a phraseology like Sinatra. All right, before we get back to the phones, I'll read the next email news item, because it relates to what we were talking about in our first one. Android 2.2, codenamed Froyo, will fully support Android's Flash platform, according to Andy Rubin, Google's vice president of engineering, who talked to the New York Times Bits blog on Tuesday. Google's show of Flash support came weeks after Apple, Android's rival, announced changes that made it more difficult for Flash application developers to create apps for its iPhone. However, Google's promise of full Flash support in an upcoming edition of Android puzzled some HTC Hero smartphone users, who as Android's handsets have supported Flash since the device's launch last year. There is speculation that Froyo will have automatic updating, so users can choose whether to let installed apps update themselves instead of updating them manually, which would be kind of nice. Other rumors are that Froyo will feature new application programming interfaces, APIs, which will be tweaked so touchscreens respond better to a user's touch and may offer additional RAM. Asked whether any of these rumors are correct, Google spokesperson individual Anthony House declined to comment. Last year, HTC announced the Hero, its third Android smartphone. This was the first Android device to support Adobe Flash. This followed from Android Adobe Apple held in Barcelona in February 2009 that it would unveil its first full-fledged Flash multimedia player for smartphones by the end of that year. However, Adobe delayed putting out Flash 10.1, reportedly because it wanted to include some of the APIs from Android 2.1, also known as Eclair. It released its second release candidate for Flash Player 10.1 or PCs and netbooks on April 19th, but is yet to issue a beta version of that platform for the Android. Adobe said Flash Player 10.1 would be released for Android 2.0 and later versions in the first half of 2010. Does Flash on the Android make you want one even more? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free, 1-800-790-0415, just like Tim did from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Tim. What's your question?
Well, actually, I'm calling from Fairport, but I don't know if that's really important right now.
Not as important as what it is you have to ask us.
I have a Windows XP running on a Pavilion computer, HP Pavilion notebook, and I heard you folks a few weeks ago, someone called in and said that they reinstalled Windows to make their computer run faster. Is that a truism or just something they said?
Well, there's several things at work. I don't remember the exact phone call, but here's the deal. Computers often slow down for a variety of reasons. One is viruses, the other is Cruft. Fragmentation, cruft in the system, too many temp files, yada, 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 yada. If you did a full clean reinstall of Windows and completely wiped out everything else, it would in fact run faster because all of that cruft and fragmentation and viruses and everything else are gone.
Which is normal buildup over time.
Right.
I did a defrag, and I've been successfully and repeatedly doing the Tango, so that hasn't been a problem. The defrag seemed to help. I'm just wondering if reinstalling Windows would make it run faster as well, or if it's not necessary at this point.
No, it is. It probably isn't.
You might want to try the disk cleanup wizard, which will clean your temp files and your and support files and cache files.
Okay. Yeah,
don't let it.
Yeah. As part of the defrag process.
Don't let it compress unused files because that makes them slower.
Yeah.
Okay.
It makes them smaller, but it makes them slower. You know, in days of 100 meg hard drives, compressed files was big. Now with
500 gig hard drives,
which is the small hard drive these days,
right?
You don't need to compress them.
Well, this is a fairly old computer with only an 80 gigabyte hard drive, which is plenty for what I'm doing. So I will make sure I don't have.
Yeah. The bottom line here, Tim, is there's no magic. Even reinstalling Windows clean and fresh is not actually going to make the machine run any faster than it will normally run.
Well, the reinstall Windows clean and fresh would essentially do a defrag, which is what I did manually. Anyway.
Right.
Okay.
And it would put it back to the way it was originally. So if your machine is running slow because there's a problem with Windows, then reinstalling Windows will make it faster. If it's running slow because your hard drive is failing or running slow because you don't have enough memory, then reinstalling Windows won't make any difference.
Yeah, it just slowed down a little over time, but I think a defrag may have been.
Yep.
I was just curious if the reinstall Windows over Windows, and you're saying, no, a complete clean and refresh, which essentially would defrag. So I think I did the right steps.
Yep.
You got it.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tim.
Yeah, there's so many reasons why things go wrong in a computer, and the fix for one reason may not help other reasons.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Almost always completely reinstalling the operating system helps, but now you're stuck with a machine that's like it was the day you bought
right.
it, and all the things you've done to make it yours are gone.
And
oh, by the way, I hope you backed up all your data because that's all gone too.
Right, that's sort of the running joke real tech people have with tech support phone lines where they tell you to restore your software to fix the problem. Yeah, that will fix the problem, but it also makes you lose everything you've already done and anything else you've loaded on the machine. It puts it back to the day you bought it when it didn't have any problems.
Right.
Hopefully.
Right. And of course, if that solves the problem you asked about.
Right.
You know, that's... Yeah.
It creates new problems, but you didn't ask about those.
It hurts when I hit my head with a hammer. Don't hit your head with a hammer.
Nope.
Okay. That isn't actually addressing the core reason of why are you hitting your head with a hammer to begin with, but it does solve the immediate problem.
The one of the jokes, another
It hurts
one.
When I do this.
Don't do
that.
Yeah. Right,
yeah,
right.
One of the stories that we also say about phone lines is their goal isn't to answer your question. Their goal is to get you off the phone.
Right.
Because they're graded by their average call time. So there was a really cute Dilbert cartoon a couple of weeks ago with Dogbert's tech support. You know, shut up and reboot. Click.
Yep.
My average call time is down to a second.
Yeah. Our software is foolproof. The fact that you bought it proves you're a fool.
Yeah.
High five. That was one of the things.
True, though.
It is true. I for those of you who are Ubuntu fans, they have a new version out. That's actually one of our later things, but that's an upgrade as well. Or of course, you're going to install brand new 6 of 1, half dozen of the other. I just installed it on a laptop, a tablet PC. Everything works except the stylus. When I have it in tablet mode and I write with the stylus, it's like an inch off, and I haven't figured out. I did it Friday afternoon. I didn't really have a lot of time to play with it. So I'll have to figure that out next week. But I'm having fun with the new, with all the new operating systems. I'm running Windows 7 on a machine at work. I'm running Ubuntu on a machine at work. I hate the new Second Life Viewer. If there's anybody who listens to this show who has any pull with the folks at Linden Labs, I would like you to go up to the person who created the voice modules for version 2 under Linux and slap them.
The whole interface, too. For you folks that don't know what we're talking about, every Friday night we go into this three-dimensional social networking software called Second Life. And more or less what we do right here in on the radio show every Saturday, we do every Friday night at 9 o'clock. That's Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 o'clock SL time, because that's what everything's based on in SL, is the West Coast. And we literally take questions from folks all over the U.S. and Europe. I mean, we've had folks, you know, like I say, coming from all the 50 states. And a few from England. I had one person come in from Germany. I mean, they're literally all over. And just like here, we do what we're doing here. And so they've introduced a new interface. And I don't know who the heck they talked to, but they definitely didn't talk to seasoned users, because their whole development of this makes no sense. It's totally screwed up.
It's so different than what it used to be that a lot of people are annoyed.
Mm-hmm. I don't have as much of a problem with different. I mean, it's like I always say, it's like buying a new car, right? So eventually I'll get used to that. The thing is, voice simply stopped working on my machine. Voice used to work perfectly. Mm-hmm. I did the upgrade, no voice. And I can't get on with the old one because it says, oh, no. Oh, no, you cannot use the old one anymore. We forbid it. And so I can't get on a second life on my machine at home. Oh, well.
Well, I say, go try the Emerald Viewer.
Tried the Emerald Viewer.
No,
I get sound in, but I still don't get sound out.
Mm, okay.
Which, again, I used to have perfectly. So I don't know. I'll have to
the
screw
old viewer,
around with
the
this
old more. Viewer still works. I tried that this morning.
1.0 may still work, but I don't have a copy of that at the moment. 2.0 does not work.
No, but I've got, I still got on my machine. Copy of I could just email it to you.
Yeah, except I'm on Linux. So it's not going to help.
No, yeah, it's not. Sorry. Try
so,
it.
So, you know, God bless the folks at Linen Labs. Just one more reason that Linux users are Second Life second class citizens. That's the t-shirt I have on.
Did you send one
second
to Torley?
I did. I don't know that I sent one to Torley. But I should. Next time I see him, I'll give him one.
In some other interesting news in the ongoing Apple-Adobe saga, one of the criticisms of Flash has been for years that it runs so slow on the Mac, much slower than on an equivalent PC. And Adobe has said that's because Apple doesn't let us access the hardware, and Apple says the hardware changes, don't access hardware. So this month, Apple has posted a tech note describing how to enable hardware H.264 encoding in Flash, and so Adobe's 10.1 beta they're working on for the Mac will be able to do hardware decoding on several of the NVIDIA graphics chips that support H.264 decoding. So hopefully that means the next version of Flash will get a lot faster.
IE9 will be solely H.264. In the HTML5 format, they're not going to support anything but H.264.
Should explain to the listeners.
So, there's a bunch of what are called codecs. And compiler, decompiler, basically the things that you use to take the data stream and turn it into stuff you will understand, video or audio. In this case, H.264 is one of many video codecs that are available and that let you grab a data stream from the net and show it.
It's the standard used for Blu-ray also.
It's the standard used for Blu-ray. One of the others is, for example, Theora. There's a bunch of them. I'm not even going to bother to list them all. But the point is that of all of them, normally in HTML5, one of the things you do is say, here are the available data streams. Which one do you want? You get to pick the one you want, whatever. They're only going to support H.264. So if I've got a site where I don't translate to H.264, you can't see my stuff. So Microsoft is forcing people to use not that H.264 is bad, not that anybody wouldn't want to use it, but the point is they limit you.
The 3 million Flash developers.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that's one of the catch-22s is that plug-in architecture makes things better.
Mm-hmm.
So we have plugins for our browsers to play Flash, to play WMV.
Do a lot of things.
Right. The problem is that plugin architecture can lead to problems, that plugins will conflict with each other. This one plugin doesn't work right, so the whole browser crashes. And that's been the catch-22, that we want the ability to add functionality, but we don't want it to crash.
Nope. Right.
When we do that. And every time you update your browser, you have to update all your plugins to be compatible with the new browser. And sometimes the plugins you use all the time don't have a version yet.
Right. One of the ways that Apple gained its reputation for the solidity that it has is that in the early days, there was almost nothing you could buy for it that wasn't from Apple or hadn't been vetted by Apple specifically.
And so that's one of the big criticisms of the App Store for the Apple mobile devices, because there's the iPhone, the iPod Touch, the iPad. That's too many syllables.
You can't do that because then it would be AMD.
Right. Well, they were going to buy ARM for the rumor was when they ended up buying Intrinsity. But one of the things that people complain about is that you have to buy apps from the App Store. But the advantage of that is that Apple vets all the apps and doesn't let viruses in, doesn't let malware in, and doesn't let the occasional good program in too, but that's a different story. But that is the one of the foundations of the stability of the iPhone. We all remember, well, not many of us remember the old Palm days. We, you know, when the Palm Trio was the smartphone everybody had, it would crash all the time because people loaded it with all these extra programs, and Apple didn't want that with the iPhone.
Yep. And so we'll see, but we're going to take a quick break. So if you're on the phone, stay on the phone. If you're not on the phone, why not? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. We'll be back in just a couple of seconds with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Paralyzed Veterans of America salutes those who've served and given the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. Each day, we honor their memory through our work to expand freedom and independence for veterans with disabilities so they can fully live the lives they deserve. Through our new campaign, Mission Able, we're enlisting all Americans, citizens, communities, and companies to help us help veterans receive what they need most, care, benefits, and jobs.
Join our mission at mission-able.com, a public service from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Sound Bites, celebrating 20 years.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Havana Mo's, located at 125 East Avenue in the East End. One of the only legal smoking bars in the city, Havana Mo's features the East End Jazz Boys live every Saturday night from 9:30 to 2 a.m. For more information, you can call 325-1030.
Jazz 90.1 appreciates your support through membership. But did you know you can support Jazz 90.1 in other ways as well? For example, by donating your old vehicle. When you donate your old vehicle to Jazz 90.1, we receive cash and you get the tax deduction. We even come pick it up. To find out more, call 966-5299. When the time comes to change vehicles, think of Jazz 90.1 and call 966-5299.
The Pithide Room, Ship's Paradise, The Cotton Club, Shalimar, Jinx and Jones, Indigo's, Ben Keaton's, The Oak Tree Lounge, Top of the Plaza, Round Towner, The Pine Grill, The Glass Onion. Those are places that we all loved, but they're really not in the past. The doctor keeps them from being just a memory. Hi, I'm Paul Kiley. Join me every Monday morning from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. following the Spectrum for Jazz Overnight on your member-supported 24-hour jazz station, Jazz 90.1 and Jazz901.org.
New artist, Miami, talks about radio.
Yeah, I like it because it puts on something. You discover new people that way. It's nice to just hear and the surprise of what's going to come next. You know, sometimes you like to control your own, and sometimes it's nice to just listen and, like, get surprised, you know, by what comes on.
The wrong way is the right direction.
The best place to discover new artists like Miami is always on the radio. Go to RadioHeardHere.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Harris. Join me every Sunday night from 5 to 7 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
No, I'm listening to music. All right, now we'll talk. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And on the phone, we have Jim. Where are you calling from, Jim?
I'm calling from Charleston, South Carolina. Nick.
Ah, Jim. How are you?
I'm fantastic. It's sunny and 80 degrees, although I look at my little weather gadget and I see you're at 79, so I guess I can't grow too much today.
See, here's another one of our droid friends. What?
But we can't see because we're in a studio that has no windows.
Right, right, right.
No, there's a window right there into another room.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I said, take my word for it. It's really 75 where you are.
Okay, thanks.
Rather.
Yeah, 79 and cloudy. I have a little weather gadget at the bottom of my computer, and of course my droid tells me the same thing.
Indeed it does.
Indeed it does.
It's a wonderful tool.
It's a great, yeah, it's a toy. You know it's a toy. You say tool, you mean toy, and you know it.
It's a toy. But
it's
how you justify it.
That's right.
I only got it because you said that it's the cool thing to get because you own one.
I love mine. I love mine. What do you think?
I love it. I think it's a riot. I was only up until 2 the night that I got it.
Yeah.
I almost did it to you.
Yes, yeah, I'm sure you did.
I almost called Nick just to see if he was going to be up that night because that day that he got it, we were doing the Soho show. And I said, you sure you don't want me to call you? Because I knew he'd be up there playing just like that night that I got introduced to the internet. And
that's right. And you were up till 6 in the morning. You got the wake-up call at 6.
I was already awake. Yeah, I'm all right. Good. You don't have to make the next one. Huh?
See, I was smart. I knew enough to go to bed at 2 instead of staying up until 6.
Sure, and of course, the cool thing is you can set your droid to tell you that.
Yeah, you know, you can. And if you're done reading the 275 pages of documentation that come along with it, I don't know how to do that.
Now, let me ask you the truth. How many apps have you downloaded?
3.
Only 3? You're a man of iron.
Only 3.
You are a man of iron, Jim. My hat is off to you. If I were wearing a hat, it would be off to you.
I have my checkbook app, I have my password app, and I have my little scanner app that I can scan a UPC code and find out where to buy it cheaper.
Yep, the barcode reader thing.
Yep, which is way cool, by the way.
Yeah, it really is. Have you seen that you can, if you go to, it's a whole bunch of places on the net, they have those.
See, now you two are going to be up all night.
Yeah, right. They have those little square.
Texting each other back and forth.
Right, they have those square barcodes, the QC codes. And you can scan those in.
I saw the app for that, but I wasn't really sure what it was, and I knew it wasn't. I'm like, well, I'll read about that later. But now that I know that it's like real, I'm like, oh, cool.
Yeah. It's actually very cool. That particular one is called Barcode Scanner.
There are several of them that can read the regular UPC codes, but then you need a special one that can read the high density 3D codes. Yeah.
Right, and the one called Barcode Scanner, which is free, will do that.
I will have to go download that, so then I'll have 4 apps that I will have downloaded. You're turning me into a junkie.
See, and that's the thing.
If you get the glazed look, we're going to start.
The first app I downloaded was just to show Steve the tricorder.
I'm calling Karen. Jim, I'm calling Karen.
There's a tricorder that does all kinds of cool things. I've downloaded some games. Action Potato is an excellent game.
Do you have Plants vs. Zombies?
I don't.
I don't know if they have an Android version of it, but don't buy it. It's too addictive.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I need, something more addictive. Excellent.
And there's one called A Car.
Called what?
A Car, or A Car. It's
okay.
What it does is you put in all your information, your mileage, how much gas you got, what the price was, and it keeps track of all of that for you and tells you what your gas mileage is and all of that stuff. Keep all your, you know, I got the oil changed, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then when you go to sell the car, you can print all that out for the person.
Maintenance type of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that's way cool. I'll have to check that out for sure.
Yeah, it's very cool. There's just a bunch of neat things for it. Sorry, you people with your iPhones, you've been talking about them for the last X number of years. Give us droid fans a little chance to play.
The problem is the Incredibles coming out soon, and then the droid will be passé. Oh, it came out already?
I'm talking to you on it now.
Ah.
Now, what's the one?
Incredible.
You got the Incredible.
Indeed, I did.
Yeah, the one, it's faster than the droid. It's about 30 or 40% faster. It has a slightly smaller screen and no keyboard, no physical keyboard.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, and that was one of my hesitations behind it, because I've got a storm for work, and it's not 100%, but I'll tell you that with the Snapdragon 1 gigahertz processor and the Incredible, this thing is uber responsive.
Yep.
And that's what's interesting about it. The Snapdragon is a very high-speed chip, mostly used, well, a lot of times used in tablets and netbooks. And now they're cramming them into phones.
Yeah.
It's sick.
Which means your battery life is not quite as good as the Droid's.
No, well, and I wouldn't know because I've been using it for, you know, playing around and settings and this and that, so I don't know what my true battery life is yet. But
I was shocked the first day I didn't play around with it, and I still had 90% of my battery at the end of the day. It's like, wow.
Go figure. Hey, before I forget about it, Nick, go to, if you log into your Second Life account.
Yeah.
And you go to the your support and downloads, it still shows the second posting in. It says, although viewer 2 is our primary viewer, viewer 1.23 is still available, and there's a Linux link there.
Oh, excellent. Thanks.
But do that now.
Yeah, I'll do that when I get home. Excellent. Yeah.
I was going to tweet the link to you, but then I realized, well, he's not going to be able to open that because he doesn't know my username and password.
Right. All right, excellent. Thank you. I'll do that when I get home.
Yep, no problem.
Appreciate it.
That was the primary purpose of my call on that, and to
say
hey, and you know, we'll be venturing up your way probably sometime in the June area.
That'll be fun.
That's what I was telling him.
That'll be fun. So, yeah, stop in. We'll play.
Absolutely. I'm loving life. All right, guys. I'll let you guys go and let you get back on the computer cups, and have a good afternoon.
You too, Jim. Keep smiling.
Thanks. See you guys.
Makes people wonder what you're up to.
Exactly. Yeah, we... We Droid people are proud of our phones. We like them. It's they're fun. I'm very impressed with the tight combination of the Google apps and the Droid. I'm very impressed.
I'd be surprised if it wasn't.
No, well, exactly.
Yeah, the Google OS and the Google apps.
You didn't think about it. But when the first thing that happened when I turned on my phone, of course, it says, you know, what's your Gmail account? And I gave it to it. And the next thing I know, it's populated all of my contacts.
Yep.
You know, 100 and some odd contacts were populated because they're all on my Google Gmail account.
Yep.
And it pulled down all the pictures. And the people that I didn't have pictures of, if I had them in Facebook, it pulled them from there.
Wow.
I was very, very impressed by that.
Do you have Google Buzz? That sucks all that stuff together?
I have Google Buzz. I'm not impressed.
A criticism early that sucked too much stuff and posted too much stuff.
Yeah, I'm not impressed with Google Buzz, I have to say. Great concept, poorly executed.
Yeah. One of the annoyances we have on the iPhone is that the Maps program is powered by Google Maps, but the turn-by-turn directions aren't. There was a statement from Google that they're working on the new version of it, and so everyone said, oh, good, we're going to get the same cool Google Map turn-by-turn that's on the Android. And Google came out and said, we didn't say that.
Yeah, right. What fascinates me is when it says, you have reached your destination, it actually shows you the street view of the place you're going to. And suddenly the map goes away and you see a photo of the place you're going to. How cool is that? All right, we're going to go back to the phones because I know you people want to talk about computers. Our next caller is Bert. Where are you calling from, Bert?
Hey, Bert. Palmyra.
Okay, take your time there, Bert.
You'll be Bert, we'll be Ernie.
Exactly.
That's not funny. Chickens are my friend.
See, that's the problem. To us, it's funny. You've been listening to it for, what, 30 years now?
Yeah.
Hey, Bert. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, it's a great show, as always. Thanks. Great radio station.
Thank you. It is.
Thank you.
It is a great radio station. Thank you.
Yeah, I have been playing with Ubuntu for 5 or 6 years now. In upgrading, I've always downloaded the ISO, burned a CD, and, you know, loaded the upgrade that way. Was thinking about, with 10.04 coming out, doing an online upgrade. Any caveats about that?
Yeah, make sure you have a really fast net connection. Or plan on doing it when you're, you know, not doing anything else important.
Okay, yeah, it does hardwired on Roadrunner.
Yeah, it takes. And I did it on the laptop, which is a 1.4 or 5 gigahertz machine, and it took about 2 hours. And most of that was the actual installation, not the downloading. But again, it's a slower processor. I only have 2 gigs of RAM, et cetera, et cetera. So if you've got a faster processor, more RAM, whatever, whatever, it may well take you a lot less time.
Cool. Okay.
But it works.
Thank you, sir.
Now, the hold on.
Yeah.
The other thing you might want to do is before you start the upgrade, go into your upgrade sources and pick, instead of just generic, you know, server for the United States, go through the list and pick someplace closer to you, like one of the universities or whatever. Because the theory would be that if, you know, if you're closer to them and et cetera, you get it faster. Now, one of the things that was good for me is RIT has a mirror.
Yeah.
So I'm right on campus.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
I'm pulling stuff down at gigabit speed. So it's just like, okay, now we'll install. So, it was not a big deal for me.
Yeah.
Till you get Fios at home.
I want Fios. Bring me Fios. All right. But yeah, I think it's a fine way to go. As always, and I tell this to everybody all the time and nobody does it, back everything up because nothing is perfect. Mm-hmm. Glitches happen.
Even a new stuff, it can happen.
Exactly. Back everything up. And then if it does screw up, then you can do a clean install and you haven't lost anything.
Yeah, and with USB thumb drives and stuff like that, backup is a lot easier than it used to be.
Well, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, and the price of external hard drives. I mean, you can get a terabyte hard drive in an external case for around $100.
Yep.
And again, you know, we tell folks, don't worry about backing up the programs. When your system crashes, that's Windows' way of saying, oh, you need to reinstall anyways. It's the documents and the spreadsheets and the data and the photos, all that stuff that would take a lifetime to recreate. And some of it you can't. So, you know, take the time to do at least the backup of your data and the things that are important to you. The programs, hello.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks. One of the things that I was going to talk about was one of our news items is that Sony floppy disks, maybe as old as the hills, but Sony still sold over 12 million of them in Japan last year. Unfortunately, Sony Japan has some bad news for those responsible for last year's sales. Come March 2011, you won't be able to buy anymore. According to the according to some daily news, the last man standing in floppy disk production Friday announced that it would discontinue diskettes over the next 12 months. Sony launched the world's first 3.5-inch floppy in 1981. Stopped production in most markets last month. With just Japan and India left, it makes sense for the company to hang on until the 30-year anniversary. It just wouldn't be right to kill it off on its 29th birthday. 12 million floppy disks? Who bought them? What did they use them for? Who even owns a machine that has floppies anymore?
And that's only 11 gigabytes. You can't buy a hard drive that small. And
what's 11 gigabytes?
12 million floppies.
Yeah.
And most flash drives are bigger than that.
Yeah. So what are you using your old floppies for these days? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or toll-free 1-800-790-0415, and we'll be glad to talk about it. It's, all right, we'll just,
We got somebody on the phone. We're coming up close to time to take a break. Cindy, in fact, I was freaking her out because I said, so your name is Cindy? Yes. I didn't tell you my name. And I told her her last name. She goes, you must have caller ID. Yeah, busted.
Yeah, we do. So, Cindy, stay on the line. We'll actually pick you up after the break. I apologize, but there's really not quite enough time to do you any justice, and we don't want to short shrift you in any way. So we'll just chit-chat until then. I haven't used the floppy disk, and I can't tell you how long. I've got a shelf full of them, and I keep thinking to myself, I really need to pull all the stuff off them, throw it on one USB drive, and then dump them all.
I was telling a story. Matter of fact, I think it was the second week you were gone, or the first week you were gone, 2 weeks ago. I had a client bring in this huge box. I mean, it was big, of these 5 1/4.
Wow.
He brings in all these 5 1/4. Literally, it was the box had to be 15 by 15. So it was two rows all the way back.
Yep.
And he brings me a bunch of stack of CDs. He says, could you burn these to a CD? Yeah, because I still got a 5 1/4 floppy. So I plugged it in, moved them all. You know, I mean, there was a lot there.
Yeah, Matt.
So he goes, how many CDs did it take? And I hand him one CD.
Half?
Yeah.
He goes, what? I go, there was hundreds of discs there. I go, yeah, and a lot of them had 2K, 3K, 2K, 1K. Yes. You know, because they were saving these Word documents, and that's what it was. A couple pictures. They weren't that big because of quality in there. So, yeah, I want to hand them back this one CD, and it was maybe half full.
Yep.
If that.
Yep.
He just said, he goes, you're fantastic. We love you guys here.
I had a Sony Mavica digital camera, one of the very first digital cameras, used a floppy drive.
Yes, I had one too.
It could store 30 photos on a floppy drive.
And you were thrilled to get it.
Yeah. Because I'm used to my 24, photo film camera.
Right. And it was basically replacing that.
Yep.
All right, we are going to take a quick break. Cindy, please stay on the line. For the rest of you, why are you not calling in? It's easy enough to do. Just pick up the phone, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Outside the 585 area code, it's 1-800-790-0415, just like Jim did from South Carolina. You can give us a call, and we'll put you on the air and talk to you about computery stuff or, dang near anything you want to talk about. But we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, and we are right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Celebrating 20 years on air, Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
The Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America has important information for people with asthma. You know that asthma symptoms can really slow you down. What you may not know is that there are two main causes of asthma symptoms: airway constriction, which you feel, and inflammation, which you may not feel. Most medicines only treat one cause, which can be why symptoms return. At asthma.com, you'll learn more about the two main causes of asthma symptoms. You'll learn how to work with your doctor to better manage your asthma. And you'll learn how treating both main causes of asthma symptoms can help prevent symptoms before they even start. And preventing asthma symptoms should be your treatment goal. For more information and resources about the two main causes of asthma symptoms, go to asthma.com. This message brought to you by the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, with funding and editorial support by GlaxoSmithKline.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District and official media partner of the 2010 Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Paralyzed Veterans of America salutes those who've served and given the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. Each day we honor their memory through our work to expand freedom and independence for veterans with disabilities so they can fully live the lives they deserve. Through our new campaign, Mission Able, we're enlisting all Americans, citizens, communities, and companies to help us help veterans receive what they need most: care, benefits, and jobs.
Join our mission at mission-able.com, a public service from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Hey, honey, she's all fixed. Want to go for a spin?
Sure. Honey, what's that in the back seat?
Oh, that's just the 23 pieces I had left over.
Time for a new vehicle? Well, Jazz 90.1 would love to have your old one. Just call 966-5299. Jazz 90.1 will pick it up, plus you'll get a tax deduction.
Is that 966-5299?
Yes. Donate your old vehicle to Jazz 90.1.
Honey?
I'm already dialing.
If you own or run a business, consider promoting your business on Jazz 90.1 through underwriting. When you underwrite the programming on Jazz 90.1, you join with our members in supporting great jazz radio. With a few tasteful statements about your business, thousands of Jazz 90.1 listeners will know who you are, how to reach you, and that you care about great jazz programming. Underwriting is easy and very reasonable. It's good business to do business with Jazz 90.1. For more information on our great underwriting packages, please contact Station Manager Rob Linton at 585-966-2660. That's 966-2660, or email sales@jazz901.org.
The Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America has important information for people with asthma. You know that asthma symptoms can really slow you down. What you may not know is that there are two main causes of asthma symptoms: airway constriction, which you feel, and inflammation, which you may not feel. Most medicines only treat one cause, which can be why symptoms return. At asthma.com, you'll learn more about the two main causes of asthma symptoms. You'll learn how to work with your doctor to better manage your asthma. And you'll learn how treating both main causes of asthma symptoms can help prevent symptoms before they even start. And preventing asthma symptoms should be your treatment goal. For more information and resources about the two main causes of asthma symptoms, go to asthma.com. This message brought to you by the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, with funding and editorial support by GlaxoSmithKline.
When you underwrite the programming of Jazz 90.1, you make your business known to people who enjoy jazz as much as you do. Your on-air message is short and tasteful, making it easy to remember, with basic information about your business, including how to reach you. Underwriting is economical, too. To find out more about underwriting Jazz 90.1, call 966-2660. That's 966-2660.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Cindy. What?
I still can't get used to that.
What?
Well, I'm sitting here, and I got three monitors in front of me, and I'm used to the Mac just sort of sitting there. And all of a sudden, I start seeing things happening, and it's like, wait a minute, I didn't touch it. I didn't do anything. And it's Rob remoting in and dropping down all the menus.
Rob needs to get out more. Rob, you need to get out more.
He's back from vacation, though, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is. He got out a lot,
actually.
If he
was doing this on his vacation, dedication.
He looked like Louie the Lobster.
Oh, I bet he did.
You know, so let's go to Cindy, then.
Cindy, where are you calling from?
Queensbury.
Queensbury, New York?
Yes.
And what is your question?
Well, first I want to say thank you for using the right phrasing on the poll question. It bothers me to no end when people say, I could care less. Oh. If you could care less, that means you do care, and that's not what you're trying to say.
Exactly. Thank you. I also was, at one point, an English major.
Ah.
Is there anything you haven't done?
Yes, and several of those are illegal.
Yeah.
And not everything I've done is legal, but I've done many legal things. You're welcome, Cindy. It's my pleasure. What's your question?
I know you've been incredibly busy with your trip the last couple weeks, but I wondered if you'd gotten a chance to try
the Jane
the
thing,
Life Hacker on the Firefly DVD.
Yes, I had not, and I apologize. It's
been
been a couple of very busy weeks.
Yes.
Did you get it?
Like I had a great trip.
Did you get it? I did. We had a great trip. Did you get it down?
No. No, I still can't on either computer.
I pulled it from YouTube, I think, because I tried.
Well,
I
told her about Adam Baldwin singing the Jane song.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
In the hat.
Very funny.
And you know you can buy the hat.
Can you?
Oh, yeah, there are several.
There's fan clubs in every town that make them.
Yeah, Google Jane's hat.
Jane's hat.
You'll find there's a million of them. Some of them look scarily good. And others are not good. But
And all the Firefly people know exactly how to spell Jane.
Exactly. See, and that's the point.
Nope.
And that's the way you got to do it. Don't play it now. We're on the air. What is wrong with you? Stop it. Jeez and crackers. All right. I have not had the chance to play with it.
Yep.
Maybe I'll get to it this weekend. I would love to do that. I will see if I can pull it off.
Okay.
All right?
It's nice having you back.
Thank you. It's good to be back. Have fun.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah, there's a website called keepvid.com that lets you save YouTube videos, which are typically kind of hard to save.
Yeah.
So anything you find on YouTube, you can save it down.
That's nice. That's nice. So she could have the Jane song sung by Adam Baldwin, but not the one from the movie itself. All right. Our next caller is John. Where are you calling from, John?
John, I'm from Rochester, New York.
Rochester, New York.
Sir, I've got a five-year-old computer with a small hard drive. It's 160 gigabytes. My kids tell me that they believe I've reformatted perhaps more than 50 times. I play with, like, Ubuntu and other things. You think I'm in a lot of trouble?
Yes. Why? Is it not running well?
That's probably why I occasionally go and reformat again. They're of the opinion that you have maybe two or three in the computer's lifetime.
For reformats?
Yeah.
No, that's not necessarily true. And, in fact, reformatting is actually kind of good for it in that it strengthens those track markers that are important. However,
it maps out any bad sectors that it may have.
Right. The mean time between failure for hard drives is about 5 years, isn't it? Isn't that what Google figured out?
20% per year failure rate.
Right. So at the end of 5 years, it's kind of 100% failure rate. If your hard drive is 5 years old, it may well be time to replace it. And as long as you're going to replace the hard drive, if the PC is 5 years old, if you can afford it, just get a new PC.
You guys are sensible. Yes. This annoys me to no end. Thank you very much.
I didn't say you have to throw away your old PC.
I don't do that, sir.
Yep.
You should. You can turn it into a print server. You can turn it into a file server, although 160 gigs is not a lot of files.
160 gigs.
No, 160 megs he had. I was just saying to myself, 160 gig is a lot of files.
That's pretty small today.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can. I've got an old laptop that's my print server. And, the printers are on that. People print to it. It all works out fine. The thing, you know, doesn't hold a charge anymore, but that's okay. It's just plugged in all the time now and yada, yada. So, yeah, I would say go for it. Get yourself a brand new PC. And use that old PC maybe to stream music or whatever. There's a lot of things you can still do with it. It's just not going to be your main machine anymore.
More sense. Okay, thank you very much.
Sorry.
Have a good day, sir.
Yep.
Bye.
He sounded disappointed. I understand that, but, you know, it's like a car. It did yeoman service for the years you had it. God bless it for all the work it did for you. I had my last car for 11 years. It owed me nothing when I got rid of it, but, you know, it really was time. And no matter how much you anthropomorphize your car, at some point it's time to get rid of it.
Stop anthropomorphizing your cars. They hate that.
They hate that. Exactly. All right. Our next caller is Gerd. Where are you calling from, Gerd?
Victor, New York.
The lovely Victor, New York. And what can we do for you this beautiful Saturday in Western New York?
Well, I'm not on the computer. I'm out in the back porch
Good
enjoying the warmth and all that stuff. But here's my problem. Got a Windows XP Professional. I got a Lexmark X7170. It's worked perfectly up until maybe a week ago. I started to look at it a little bit more intensely a couple of days ago. I can't even copy stuff, much less print anything off the screen of the computer. Now, it tells me that I have problems with the cartridges, which are new, and they've been working all along. The printer goes through the whole process. I mean, you can hear it going, you know, for the lines that it's printing, yet the paper comes out blank.
It sounds like the heads are clogged, and most printers have a head cleaning feature where it tries to clean the heads off. Unfortunately, that uses a bit of ink, so if you clean your heads too much, you run out of ink again.
Right.
And eventually, while printers have sort of become disposable, it usually costs more to replace the heads than it does to buy a new printer.
Yeah. There's a couple of things you should try. First is, as Steve suggests, clean the print head. There's usually a part of the printer driver, one of the functions there, or you can do it right from the keypad of the printer. The other thing is to make sure that all of those cartridges, is this a color one or black and white?
Both.
All right.
It doesn't print either way.
Okay. Make sure all of the cartridges are seated correctly, and make sure you pull the tabs all the way off before you install the cartridges.
I've done all that. It's been working perfectly, and then all of a sudden, abruptly, it just sort of, like, stopped.
Yeah, if copying doesn't work, and if the print head is going back and forth and thinks it's printing,
yep,
there's
that's
something.
That's exactly what it's doing. Yeah. You can hear it going, you know, like.
It may well just be dead. Yes. I hate to say that, but it just might be. How old is it?
Three plus years.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, it may well just be dead. And honestly, at the price that they are nowadays, you have to decide if it's worth your time to play around with it anymore or just head down and get a new one.
In fact, sometimes you buy a cheap inkjet printer for like $40-$50.
Yeah.
And replacing the ink in it is $40-$50.
Exactly.
So that's the way you replace your heads, is just buy a new printer.
Just buy a new printer, exactly. Exactly.
How's that Kodak advertising? Is that worthy or not?
Several of the new Kodak printers. Well, Kodak's big thing in their advertising is their ink costs less than other printers.
I had heard issues with the print heads on some of the newer ones. Now, this, again, is information that's good 6 months or better old, because I had one client that literally got six of the new low-end printers.
Right.
And they were going through print heads like nobody's business. Kodak came in. I got to give them this credit. They came in, upgraded them because the whole batch had issues. They took them up to the next model, and they've been okay.
That's one of the problems with buying the first model out of the gate is that they haven't had a chance to work out the problems yet. One of the things that a lot of people do is buy ink refill kits.
That's what I do.
The printer manufacturers recommend against that because they say it damages the printer. And there's some truth in that, but most of us think that's just because they want you to pay more.
Right.
One of the things you could try is name brand cartridges from that printer manufacturer. But then if they don't work, you've wasted new cartridges.
Yeah,
well, the other thing is it depends on whose ink refills you buy. The lower cost ink refills have lower cost, which is to say cheaper ink, and it may not work as well. And over time, a cheaper, coarser ink can wear down your printhead.
And there's also an issue that some of the cheaper cartridges are cheaper because there's less ink in them, which makes them cost more per print because there's less ink in them. But yes, it's become disposable. We call it the razor analogy. You give them the razor so you can sell them the blades. You get a $100 printer and you're going to put more than that in ink over a year or two, and then the printer dies and you throw it away and buy a new one.
Recommendations?
Well, it's catch 22. Of the major name brands, I kind of like Epson. They often have better reviews in color reproduction. So if you're doing a lot of color photos, Epson's are pretty good. HP gets a little better ratings in text reproduction, but their drivers are horrible.
I've had nothing but good luck with HP. I mean,
yeah, they've gotten a lot better recently. But one of the things that
and their drivers, though, for the most part, you know, I mean, I can go back on some of the older printers and get them to still work.
They're really good about supporting older printers.
Yeah.
One of the things that HP always has is their bi-directional communication module. So if the printer is out of ink, a message pops up on your screen. Or when the printer runs out of paper, a message pops up on your screen. But that little program is always running in the background of your computer, waiting for things to happen on the printer slows you down a bit.
Speaking about printer issues.
One of the things I like to recommend and what we recommend in our store is a laser printer. You can get a black and white laser printer for $150 or less. And that works really great for printing text documents, you know, stuff from the internet, regular reports. And cost of laser consumables is significantly lower than color ink.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you do want to print photos now and then, you can get a color photo printer. But do most of your printing on laser, which is about a penny a page on average, where a color photo is $1 a page or more. So it's a lot of people end up with both color inkjet and black and white laser for both of their printing needs.
Okay, so Monday I stop in.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
That's how it works.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.
A lot of people like the all-in-one devices now. It's a printer, copier, scanner, so it's one box that doesn't take up much space on your desk. It used to be they weren't very good. You take three products, cram them together, and you get one not-so-good product. But
again,
now,
their HP has been very reliable.
Yep. Nowadays, the all-in-ones are really good. We've also started liking the Brother models. They're a bit cheaper than HP. The consumables are a bit cheaper than HP, and they're pretty good quality.
Speaking of printers and all this stuff, my machine decided to go south on me, where I literally had to reinstall Windows over Windows. And, all right, got everything back up. I got it running, got the sound. Literally took me most of the day to get back up there because I want to go to Windows 7 on that yet, but I still have to hold off because of one of my distributors, they run in older software, but that's another story. So I had that all tested out. So I go on this other computer to print stamps from stamp.com. Now I put it in order. I wanted to print two sheets. That's $22 worth of stamps. And over the network, it sends it to mine. I'm sitting there waiting. I go to mine. It says printer offline. I'm thinking, ah, damn! I don't want to lose $22 because you can go back into stamps.com and say, you know, I want a refund. But that takes 3 to 4 weeks. So I'm sitting there trying to get this printer back online without rebooting, without losing this print job. I finally did it, but the darn thing just didn't want to wake up, even though I even got a new USB cord and everything else. And finally, it just finally kickstarted it. Boom, quick, put those sheets through, and I got all my stamps printed off.
Good.
Whoa, I don't need these headaches. After spending most of the day reinstalling software, that was like the icing on the cake.
Yeah,
I was
exactly.
Ready to drop kick it out the front window.
Oh. Exactly. That's, you know, that's one of the things. We were in Chicago and we wanted to go see a show, and it was going to be a ludicrously large amount of money. And the seats were not great, but we got on the computer and went through the process. And at the end it says, and you know, print your tickets. Well, we can't print our tickets. We're in a hotel room in Chicago, and we don't have a printer.
Well, I'm sure the hotel has a print service for $10 a page.
Well, it wasn't that. It was that now, you know, we went downstairs to do that, and by the time we did that, they said, you know, these tickets, we resold them. And I said, well, that's okay. They didn't really want to spend $250 to see this show anyway, so I think that's all right. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, each and every one of you in the longest-running computer show, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This is station manager Rob Linton. Do you have a comment or suggestion for Jazz 90.1? Call our feedback phone today at 966-2407. That's 966-2407. Be heard at Jazz 90.1.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.
Paralyzed Veterans of America salutes those who've served and given the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. Each day, we honor their memory through our work to expand freedom and independence for veterans with disabilities so they can fully live the lives they deserve. Through our new campaign, Mission Able, we're enlisting all Americans, citizens, communities, and companies to help us help veterans receive what they need most: care, benefits, and jobs.
Join our mission at mission-able.com, a public service from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Greece Community Broadcasting Incorporated is proud to present Art Loves Jazz 2010, a gala fundraising event to benefit Jazz 90.1. This fifth annual fundraising event will be held Thursday evening, May 20th from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. with great live jazz from Uptown Groove and the Bob Snyder Trio. There will be a silent auction, a live art auction, and great gourmet food. Art Loves Jazz 2010 will be held at Artisan Works, located at 565 Blossom Road in Rochester. Artisan Works is a not-for-profit community event space filled with art and other treasures from Rochester and around the world in its 60,000-square-foot gallery. Proceeds from Art Loves Jazz 2010 benefit Jazz 90.1. Tickets are only $30 per person and can be purchased by calling 585-966-2660. That's 966-2660. Or online at jazz901.org. Only a limited number will be sold, so get yours today.
Hi, I'm Linda Wildman. Please join me middays, 10 to noon on Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enrich.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites.
Okay, I want to take a brief moment here and remind folks, tomorrow from 3:30 to 5, Otto Bruno is starting a whole new show. Well, sort of. It's still Sinatra, but they're calling it Sinatra and Company. And it's basically Sinatra and the Rat Pack, including Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Count Basie, and more. And he's going to be putting all these artists together and putting together one heck of a show. It's premiering this Sunday, again, from 3 to 5. Definitely check it out if you get a chance.
And, you know, like I said before, Sinatra's phrasing. If I were to do a show on a station like this, I'd call it Phraseologist. And I'd have Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald, Billie Holiday, people like that, maybe Judy Henske, although she's not really a jazz performer as much, because the phrasing of those people when they sing is just astonishingly good. You owe it to yourself to listen. It'll be great. All right, we're going to go back to the phones now, and our next caller is Jim from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I have two hard drives on my computer. One is the main hard drive, and the other hard drive is one that I used to have on the computer as my main hard drive, but then I had problems. So I got a new hard drive, set it up, and now they're both on there. So the problem is, on the old hard drive, I had a password on my username, and so I can get to most of the files on that old hard drive, but not the ones that was in the My Documents folder for that old username. Do you have any tips on how to access those folders? When I try to access them now, it says, you know, I don't have access to it. I actually don't have the exact error message.
What version of Windows are you running?
Yeah.
This is XP.
What you want to do is this. Go to... make sure you're logged on as the administrator of the machine.
Okay.
Oh, man, this is not going to be easy.
Mm-mm. No, it's not.
I don't remember exactly how you do it, but you right-click on the top-level folder that you want. And somewhere in there under administrator, I know
there's a run as admin command. Is there an open as admin?
No, you want to be logged in as the administrator.
Yeah,
right.
And what you do is you right-click on that folder, and one of the – maybe you shift-right-click on that folder, and then one of the choices is take over ownership of
that
folder.
Yes, you get if you right-click on it and you go into sharing in properties.
There it is.
And you open that up, and in there there's a tab for auditing, I think it is. And in there you can then see you as logged in as an administrator,
right,
and you can say – this will override the other. It'll ask you, apply it to all Windows. You click yes.
All subfolder, yeah.
And you'll see it throwing all these files.
And it'll take a while.
Yeah.
Just go get a cup of coffee.
I found a TechNote at Microsoft. We'll get that posted on the link shortly.
But that's how you do it. You can take over ownership. As long as you are the administrator of the machine, you can take over ownership of other people's folders.
Okay, very swift.
Thank and the files in them and all the subfolders. But read carefully to make sure that you click all the right buttons. Otherwise, it's not going to do you a lot of good.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, if you change the permissions on the wrong folders or a system folder, you can lock yourself out of the computer.
Right. Well, luckily, this is on the other hard drive,
the
non-boot hard drive. Yeah. So
make sure you've selected the other hard drive.
Right. Make sure you're in the right folder. But, you know, if you're in the right place, you could just take that top-level...
Yeah.
You know, all the top-level folders one at a time and do that to them, and then you own the whole hard drive.
Mm-hmm. That's what I do. I just click on the scene.
Yep.
Because we have to do that quite often when we move, you know, take a hard drive out of the machine.
Right.
And put it over. There's another procedure where we have to be able to get into the system restore files. And I've got to unlock that.
Right, I go
in there and it's under my machine as administrator, unlock it so that I can get in there and do the work. And then after we're done, I relock it.
Right.
Once I get back into the other machine.
There's an interesting option on the Mac that's both very useful and very scary. Ignore permissions on this volume.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, that is. That is not, security-wise, that's pretty stupid. That's
but like, it really helps when we're trying to get into a customer's account when they don't know their password.
All right, here's an item sent in by friend of the show, Elaine Francesco. Police and medical records have been found on used copy machines. Almost every copier made since 2002 contains a hard drive, which stores a copy of every document the machine scans, prints, copies, or faxes. John Juntunen, whose company Digital Copier Security developed software designed to scrub data from copier hard drives, so, you know, here's a guy who's got a vested interest, purchased four used copiers from a New Jersey warehouse. Using data recovery software available for free on the internet, they were able to recover thousands of documents from the machines. One of the machines had been used by the Buffalo, New York Police Sex Crimes Division. The hard drive from it yielded detailed domestic violence complaints and a list of wanted sex offenders.
Ooh.
A second machine from the Buffalo Police Narcotics Unit contained targets in a major drug raid. On a third machine, once used by a New York construction company, Juntunen found design plans for a building near Ground Zero in Manhattan, 95 pages of pay stubs with names, addresses, and social security numbers, and $40,000 in copied checks. But despite the sensitivity of the information discovered on the first three machines, it was the information on the fourth machine that that they found what they called the most disturbing documents. The machine, once used by Affinity Health Plan, a New York insurance company, contained 300 pages of individual medical records. These records included everything from drug prescriptions to blood test results to cancer diagnosis. There are ways to wipe data from copy machine hard drives, but as this report shows, many organizations haven't made the effort, aren't aware of the risk, or aren't verifying that the data have been erased before decommissioning old copiers.
Or don't realize there's a hard drive in there storing your stuff anyway.
Oh, yeah. I'll bet you 99% of the folks don't realize that.
Yep. So, have you got a copier? Did you know it had a hard drive? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll free at 1-800-790-0415. It is kind of scary to think that, you know, there's all these HIPAA regulations and everything else nowadays, and the idea is that your documents, whatever, health or whatever, whatever, are supposed to be so safe, and then they take 600 gigabytes or you know, a couple of terabytes of your private data and just throw it in the trash can. Or sell it to somebody who refurbs it and sends it out.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of that refurb, clearly, they're not formatting the hard drives. And even if they are, formatting doesn't do it.
No.
I've also read the same thing about ATM machines.
Yeah.
It's common now for bars and grocery stores and whatnot to have ATM machines to help you with your purchases.
Yeah.
There have been cases where the bar has closed or sold the ATM machine and... a couple of news magazines have done stories on this, and they buy an ATM machine on eBay, and it's paper tape full of records of all the previous transactions it's gone through. And then the one news magazine I saw, they set up the ATM on a street corner and filmed people using it.
Get out.
And then went up and said, why did you use the ATM? And you didn't feel anything wrong with using an ATM in the middle of the block, and... And here's the skimmer that recorded your credit card information. Here's the camera that recorded your PIN number. You're lucky we're the good guys.
Yeah. Exactly. Hello. Yeah.
Jeez Louise. I try very hard not to use any ATM machine that's not in the bank. I mean, in the bank.
And right, there have been cases where skimmers have been put outside the bank at the drive-up.
Right.
I've never used an ATM.
Really?
Wow. Well, not to draw money out, other than going to my bank, the drive-up for depositing and all that, but those machines that I have in coffee shops or anything else like
that. Well, I refuse to pay the fee.
Well, see,
Well,
and that's how the business makes its money. They charge you a buck, and then your bank charges you a buck.
Yeah, see, I don't use those.
I
use my debit card, and like you say,
But if I need cash, I'll go to the bank and do that. You got to carry a little bit of cash around with you.
Right, but I don't like you say, those ones, they could be in a store, coffee shop and all that. They're just for anybody, not bank specific, to use. And like you say, they charge a fee. And that's...
We were so happy we finally got debit capability on our credit card machine at the office, and we were so happy we got the PIN pad because debit fees are lower than credit fees for the business.
Well, there's none.
Yeah, no, well, there still is one, but it's a little lower.
Yeah, yeah, well, it's a lot lower.
And, well, a tangent on my tangent. Cards like Discover that give you that 2% cash back.
Yeah. Guess who pays for it?
Right, they take it from the vendor.
Well, there was legislation that I think finally got turned down because the banks were trying to spin it around to us small business people.
Yeah.
They're saying, well, you know, these small businesses are taking your money, or they're going to try to charge you for, you know, you getting these rewards back. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. No, it's the banks that are charging us, so they just want us to pay more. Because the minute, you know, we started saying, well, then we'll pass these fees on to, you know, the users.
Yeah.
They go, no, you can't do that.
So, yeah, you're paying 2 or 3% credit card processing fee, you know, up to like 4% for an Amex, you know, extra percent for Discover.
Oh, I don't take Amex.
Yeah, we've stopped taking Amex. But a lot of our corporate customers have corporate Amex, and we sort of have to. So we lose another 4%. New York State gets the 8%. We're lucky to make 5% on a sale, so we make the less money on it.
Yeah. But that's
it's very frustrating.
I can't, you know, like everybody knows, I used to sell computers, and back in those days, we had a 40% margin.
Yeah.
So you could, you know, very easily give somebody a hell of a discount and play around a little bit and give them the best deal they could have and still make a decent profit for yourself. Now 5%, you're kind of locked in. This is the price. This is what we have. This is what you get.
You're lucky.
And you're still not making any money on the deal.
No.
That's ridiculous.
Where we have to make it up on parts and all that. You don't
service.
Make squat.
Support.
It's service.
Yep.
Service is where we make our money.
So we were so happy we got the debit ability with the PIN pad.
Mm-hmm.
And then the end of the first month, there's a $30 extra charge on our statement. So they're charging us an extra $30 a month for the PIN pad.
Yeah, see,
and I thought that was free. No, that was the swiper is free. The PIN pad is $30. It's two machines.
Yeah, I bought mine.
Well, that's what we said. We could buy this thing for like $200, and you're going to charge us $30 a month?
Yeah. No, I bought all my equipment this way.
Cancel our account. We're moving to another bank.
Well, that's what that's
then
exactly.
They lowered our fee a little bit.
That's exactly what I did just last year. I went from one bank. Now I'm over Canandaigua National, and they were fantastic because, again, they changed the software. The bank said because of the state, you had to change the software because of printing just the last four numbers.
Right.
Because before it was printing them all. No, you can't have that.
Right.
So they changed that, and then I get notified. Well, now because my machines were only 2 years old, and they're like $600, and you buy the pads and all that other stuff. They say, well, now you got to buy all new equipment. I go, wait a minute. It's only 2 years old. What kind
Have you ever heard of updating?
Yeah. I says, why can't I, give me some credit on this? Oh, sorry. We don't do that. Well, you know what? You just lost my business, and I had been with you for over 17 years.
Yep.
All right. Well, 19 years.
Yeah, how
years
much later. Money have you made on me?
Yeah.
That was one of our lines. How
See
much you. Money have you made on me, and you're screwing us over like this?
Yeah, that's what I said. You're not going to even give me some. No, sorry, that's not our policy. I said, well, my policy is I'm switching banks.
Yeah.
And I went over to Canandaigua National, and not that, they're just great folks there. I mean, this is my personal. It's not an advertisement or anything else. It's just my own personal feelings and that, and I've been very happy there.
If your business accepts credit cards, especially if you're a small business, look into your fee structure. One of the things we ran into is it looked like we were getting charged double fees, and we are. The bank takes a fee. The electronic processing company in the middle takes a fee. The credit card company takes a fee, and that all adds up in the end.
Oh yeah. Oh, don't even get me started on that.
Yeah, no kidding.
We almost don't want to take credit cards at all, but then you run into bounced checks.
When
most of our stuff we sell is really expensive.
Yeah, when I worked at the computer center, one of the owners, Secunder Sheikh, did not take credit cards. He said, "We're not going to take credit cards." He is a Muslim, and he said that's usury. So we take checks and cash. That's all we do. And in all the years that I worked for him, I think we got burned twice. I was quite astounded by that. And so certainly we never had any of those charges or anything because we didn't play that game.
Yep.
But it really was quite amazing. You know, people in those – I don't know if people have just gotten worse or – I don't know what the deal is. But
it makes us want to start a credit card processing company.
That's where your money is.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you what, but you can't break into that business.
Yep.
You think the mafia is tough on people? Check these guys out.
Well, I went to the company now handles my processing. They're over in Fairport. And I went into their office. And it's cool. They got this fish tank. It's got to be a 200-gallon. You know, and the thing is long. And they've got the tropical fish in it.
Which one? Which store?
No, it's not a store.
Well, the bank processing? Yeah.
Yeah. They're heading on in. I think you'll go down Monroe Avenue. You go up over the overpass for the train. You know, you go past Pittsburgh Plaza, you head out, and just after you get over the railroad tracks, there's some office buildings in there.
So I'll have to go find that.
I can get the name.
Well, it's like the library up here in Greece has this huge, 100-foot-long fish tank.
I've gone in there just a couple times. I had to pick up some supplies in it. They go, well, we'll mail them to you. I said, no, I'll stop over because I like going into the fish. Yeah. I mean, it is gorgeous.
The poor person that cleans it, though, by the time they get to one end, they got to start back over at the other.
Well, that's the thing with saltwater tanks. You got to be really particular about that because nothing can fall back in or can kill your whole tank.
Yep.
The salt. Build up.
Yep. So here on the Jazz Fish Hour.
Yeah, right.
Jazz Credit Card Fish Hour.
Fish fries. In fact, I had a good fish fry.
So did we.
All right. You need to give us a call. Clearly you need to give us a call.
We're getting way off
topic. The number is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415.
We got any questions?
Questions? Well, yes, we do. But first I want to catch up a little bit on... the news. Canonical has high hopes for its latest release, Ubuntu 10.04 LTS, which stands for long-term support, also known as Lucid Links. This new version is the one that, for many indications, the company hopes will take Ubuntu from being a fan favorite to a commercial success. Based on first looks, Canonical's hopes may be realized. Make no doubt about it, Canonical wants you and any business you might own to buy into Ubuntu 10.4 on the server. And in the cloud, 10.04 features a new interface that concentrates on ease of use. The server version has almost 100 open source and proprietary application providers certifying their programs. That version includes software from Alfresco, Ingress, IBM, VMware, Yahoo, and Zimbra. It also includes improved installation and management tools for the Ubuntu Enterprise Cloud and the Amazon EC2. And the new version is named Long-Term Support for a reason. Users are guaranteed 5 years of free security and maintenance updates for the server version and 3 years for the desktop version. Dell, which already supports the Ubuntu Linux desktop, has also announced its support for the server side in the Ubuntu Cloud on its PowerEdge C product line, servers designed for building cloud environments. The desktop version is also long-term support. I already said this. Users are guaranteed 3 years of free security and maintenance updates. I've installed it on a couple of machines myself. I was impressed with how easily both installations went. There were a couple of problems at the beginning, but they've fixed all those out. The push to make Ubuntu easy to use has continued throughout this release with Gwibber, Facebook, Flickr, Dig, Twitter, Identica. It's great. Have you tried Ubuntu? Give us a call. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes on Soundbites.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Hi, this is Charles Benoit, host of The Smart Set. Friends, we get dozens of requests on The Smart Set, but we come back each week anyway, broadcasting live from Rochester's hottest night spots, the Cowtail Room, the Foaming Bulldog, the Bar None Saloon, the Blue Buddha Lounge, anywhere the best bands in the biz are belting out the tunes Dance Mad Bob's Love. And what bands? The Royal Crown Review, Lee Presson and the Nails, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, Lave Smith and a Red Hot Skillet Liquors, and of course, His Highness of Heidi Ho, Rochester Zone, Cab Galloway. Experience it all in the relative safety and comfort of your own home every Saturday night from 5 to 6 right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
helping you with your computer questions for over 20 years. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
The Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America has important information for people with asthma. You know that asthma symptoms can really slow you down. What you may not know is that there are two main causes of asthma symptoms: airway constriction, which you feel, and inflammation, which you may not feel. Most medicines only treat one cause, which can be why symptoms return. At asthma.com, you'll learn more about the two main causes of asthma symptoms. You'll learn how to work with your doctor to better manage your asthma. And you'll learn how treating both main causes of asthma symptoms can help prevent symptoms before they even start. And preventing asthma symptoms should be your treatment goal. For more information and resources about the two main causes of asthma symptoms, go to asthma.com. This message brought to you by the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, with funding and editorial support by GlaxoSmithKline.
What does it take to create a great jazz radio station? The best jazz music? Sure. Knowledgeable DJs who love the music as much as you do? Naturally. A fine facility with the best equipment? Of course. But what is most important in creating a great jazz radio station is the decision to make it happen. And that is what you do when you decide to become a member of Jazz 90.1. Listeners enjoy a great jazz station, but members make them happen. Keep Jazz 90.1 happening. Call 966-JAZZ, 966-5299 today and become a member of Jazz 90.1.
Greece Community Broadcasting Incorporated is proud to present Art Loves Jazz 2010, a gala fundraising event to benefit Jazz 90.1. This fifth annual fundraising event will be held Thursday evening, May 20th from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. with great live jazz from Uptown Groove and the Bob Snyder Trio. There will be a silent auction, a live art auction, and great gourmet food. Art Loves Jazz 2010 will be held at Artisan Works, located at 565 Blossom Road in Rochester. Artisan Works is a not-for-profit community event space filled with art and other treasures from Rochester and around the world in its 60,000-square-foot gallery. Proceeds from Art Loves Jazz 2010 benefit Jazz 90.1. Tickets are only $30 per person and can be purchased by calling 585-966-2660. That's 966-2660. Or online at jazz901.org. Only a limited number will be sold, so get yours today.
Hey, this is Derek Lucas, host of The Spectrum. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 46 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. So far, I'm kind of impressed by the new Ubuntu. I like it. It's fast, it's clean, it's easy. It's purple, which is... which is also the color of my daughter's new college. That's their
purple.
Their color, which is good. That was the one thing she was really worried about. She needed a school with a color that she liked. And, you know, if it was, you know, pink or whatever, she was unhappy.
But sorry, Dad, I can't go here.
Exactly.
Wrong colors.
Purple was one of her favorite colors, so it all kind of fell into place. We're very happy now. I hope she's not listening because I'll hear about this later. I will certainly hear about this. I can't wait to hear about this.
And you will.
You know what? We need to talk about May 5th.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah. Now, network managers are being urged to run a series of checks on their routers and firewalls to ensure their users will still be able to connect to Internet sites in the wake of a major change to the Internet's domain name system next week. On May 5th, the world's top domain authorities, led by ICANN, the U.S. government, and VeriSign, will complete the first phase of the rollout of DNSSEC, Domain Name System Security Extensions, across the 13 root servers that direct users requests to the relevant websites on the Internet. The DNSSEC upgrade adds a digital signature to the response from every domain name server request to give an Internet user an extra level of assurance that the domain name is translated to the correct Internet location, such as a website or email destination. Now, the problem with this is that there are a lot of sites that don't have that, and there are a lot of machines that don't provide it. And right now, if they don't, that may be what's causing a certain slowdown in the internet right now, because while some of the top level root servers are using DNSSEC already, others are not. And if you send data to one that isn't doing DNSSEC, if you're not doing DNSSEC and you send a request to a root server that is, it rejects you. You try another one, it rejects you. You try another one, and it's not running DNSSEC, so it accepts you. But coming May 5th, they'll all be running it. So there may be systems that don't get on the internet anymore. Not you alone, but your internet service provider. So what you need to don't really need to do anything, because there's nothing for you to do. But be aware that if your system suddenly, mysteriously, cannot connect on May 5th, you may want to call up your internet service provider and ask them if they've handled the DNSSEC problem, DNSSEC. It's unlikely to be a problem, but we want people to be aware of it. And the idea was to thwart man-in-the-middle attacks. For example, if I go to...
Which have already been found in the wild spoofing DNSs.
Right, and the basic idea is I'm going to Steve's server. But Dave has spoofed a DNS server to say that he is Steve's server. So I say, give me Steve's server. And I go over and I'm suddenly on Dave's server, but I don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it looks exactly the same.
Rerouted you and didn't know.
And you've rerouted me. Now the DNS server itself will say, yeah, this is not the right guy. I don't know why everybody thinks he is, but he's not Steve. You shouldn't go here. And that's what they're trying to prevent. That's what they're trying to have happen. That it prevents that man mm-hmm. in the middle attack. So,
right.
And there were cases found with eBay and PayPal and a lot of the big commercial sites where DNSs had been spoofed, and so people thought they were at PayPal paying something, and they weren't.
Right, right, right.
And that's one of the problems when you want to make a change on the internet. Everybody's got to change at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult sometimes to implement some of these new security policies because of how many things are on the internet and how much has to change at once. And how close are we to IPv6?
Yeah, well,
very far.
Yeah.
Bless you.
No, it's running now in select places. Yep. IPv6 is the next version of the internet protocol. We're on IPv4. Mm-hmm. And a lot of places are now running IPv6, but not all of them. For example, at RIT, we have two networks. IPv4 and IPv6. The IPv, we tried to do IPv6 first, and if we can't find a site, we back down to IPv4. But IPv6 is much faster, much cleaner, and a much better connection. So if you can, you should always try IPv6 first.
What happened to IPV5?
It's like the Star Trek movies. It's an
the odd numbers
one.
Don't work.
Sort of like Windows app. Well, it was like Windows or MS-DOS.
Right.
Yeah. The odd versions always had issues. The even versions didn't.
Right. Yeah, we all remember those, and we all remember what they were like. It was I remember in the old days telling people that, you know, it's an odd-numbered version. Maybe you want to hold off for the next thing. So that's the way that would work. All right, we're going to go back to the phones now. Our next caller is Kevin. Where are you calling from, Kevin?
Hi, I'm calling from Greece. I ran the Security Tango a few weeks back, and Malwarebytes found a registry data item infected. And, of course, it's got that long string. And you guys always say, don't mess with the registry. So is this something that I should be concerned about? I could read it to you. The particular item that found.
That's not going to help.
Mm-mm. No?
No.
Okay, so should I just ignore it? Is it like a false positive?
Well, it probably is an infection, and so your choices are leave it alone and the infection gets worse, or have Malwarebytes remove it.
Yes, have it removed.
And which is probably the best way to go, and hopefully nothing else will break.
I will not tell folks how to go and play around the registry.
Right.
I don't want to be responsible.
But again, anytime you're about to play around in the registry, back up everything twice.
Okay.
Back up all your data, because the registry is very, very delicate. It's possibly the single stupidest mistake Microsoft ever made, and that's saying a lot, is to put everything in that one registry, that one place, and then make it so ridiculously convoluted. So be very careful, back up everything twice, and then go for it. And if you have to restore, well, then you have to restore, but or reinstall from scratch. Make sure you've got all your CDs that you need in case that happens.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
Sure.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
And that's one of the ways malware hides, is in the registry, because it's always there and it's hard to manage and easily corruptible.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it really is a breeding ground.
And all it takes is clicking and deleting one item within the registry, and you could render the whole machine totally useless.
The way it used to work, and the way Linux still works, is that every program has its own configuration file. So if you screw up that program, so what? You know, you've screwed up that program. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so sorry for you.
See,
but
Windows does that too with the INI files. They have a registry and an INI file for each program.
Right. But I don't. Yeah. A lot of them don't use the INI files anymore. They just go right to the registry. And having everything in that one place where if you screw up one thing, everything
you're
is
hosed.
Done. That's not a very bright idea. I'm sorry. I'm sure it makes Microsoft's life a lot easier. That doesn't help any of us. Not any of us. And that's the way that works. Somebody on the Ustream is asking whatever happened to Internet 2. That's essentially IPv6. Is really Internet 2. When I said IPv6, I meant in terms of that part, it's Internet 2. Internet 2 is supposed to be faster and blah, 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 blah. And that's, it uses IPv6 exclusively. So in general, IPv4 is still being used by Internet 1, and Internet 2 is IPv6. All right. That music tells me that you've wasted 2 solid hours on the most gorgeous day of the year listening to sound bites. I do not know what's wrong with you, but we appreciate whatever it is that is wrong with you, because we were delighted to spend this last couple of hours with you. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week. Please feel free to call in. Check us out on our website, soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. Go to the poll. Go to my website, asknick.com, and we'll see you back here next week with the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, I'm Nick Francesco. We are right here next week on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Thanks for listening.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, the answer to your computer questions on member-supported Jazz 90.1.